The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome once again, folks, to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson, and as always, we are here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you doing this week?
It's interesting.
It's been a week. I knew you were going to say that.
It's interesting, that's for sure.
We never have dull moments, do we?
Never.
From one episode to the other to the other. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope that everybody had a good month, and we're going to start off the month, first Sunday of the month, with Sunny Stories. And this is coming from first person. The lady doesn't give her name in the article, but I thought it was really cool. She says, I had a doctor's appointment today, and since it wasn't too far from home, I decided to walk there. The doctor's office was right across from a grocery store, so on my way to work, I remembered I needed to pick up some parchment paper because I needed to bake bread in the evening. As I was about to enter the grocery store, a tall, fit man approached me and asked if I had any money he could give since he was hungry. He was holding a beer can, and I didn't want to give him money, thinking it may go towards alcohol. So I offered to buy him food from McDonald's, which was a 5 to 7 minute walk from the store. And the man looked at me in disbelief, and again, this is first person, but said that he'd appreciate that. So we started walking together. Curious about who he is, I started asking questions about him and his life. It became clear to me that he didn't want to talk about his estranged family. Instead, he started telling me how Jesus is everything for him in life, how he only does what Jesus tells him to do, how he lives to preach for Jesus, etc. I'm not particularly religious myself, but I'm very respectful of other people's choices. So I kept telling him that having faith is great, but I'm sure God would want him to help himself and be the best person that he can be. He didn't seem very interested in listening to what I had to say. At the McDonald's, I asked what he wanted, and he opted for 2 quarter-pounder burgers and a fish filet burger as dessert, as he said. I asked him if he wanted to stay at the McDonald's to eat, but he replied he'd walk me back to the store. On the way back, he got curious and asked me if I was an engineer. I am Indian, and I am in the Bay Area, so he wanted to put 2 and 2 together, but I had to disappoint him and tell him that his assumption was off, which led to his next question. So who are you? All I had to say was that I am a person who tries to be good at heart and help others where I can. Then I asked him for a favor. If you want to thank me for this meal, please call up your family once and try and talk to them. If they are not nice to you, that's fine. Never talk to them again, but give it one more try. After a bit of hesitation and remembering that to be heard, you have to speak in the other person's language. So I added, God sent me to tell you to give it one more try. And he promised he would. So I thought that was really cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, definitely.
Another random act of kindness kind of story, but it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes
that's what it takes. You gotta push that person into doing that, just that, you know?
Yep. So then we go into positive phenomenon. And this story is about Jonathan and Robert Lovell. And they're two brothers who are missionaries in Central America. And their parents, Andrew and Rebecca Lovell, administrate a school. It's called Escuela Integrada de Niños, Trabajadores. And it's for kids who help support their families as shoeshine boys, selling souvenirs, tour guides, food vendors on the streets of the tourist city of Antigua in Guatemala. Albert, Kevin, and Arlen are students at the school. And a few years ago, the three teens were babysitting Robert and Jonathan when 4 masked men forced their way into the Lovell home with guns. They tied up all 5 boys and threw them onto the kitchen floor. And then they began to ransack the house. And in the middle of the robbery, Jonathan and Robert's father, Andrew, came home. The robbers put the guns to his face and demanded all of his family's valuables. Usually such home invasions end with the robbers killing all the witnesses. Tied up on the floor, Kevin whispered, "Let's all pray that Jesus will protect us and make the bad guys go away." So the 5 boys prayed together. And then for reasons that nobody can explain, the robbers suddenly left without hardly taking anything. Why? Why did he leave so abruptly? Robert, who was 5 at the time, says he knows. He explained to his father, Dad, when I was set up on the floor, we were all praying for you. Jesus told me not to worry. And so Robert says, that's what he did. He quit worrying because he knew that Jesus was going to take care of everything, and he did. What do you think about that one?
Well, that definitely works. I know when it comes to this, you know, type of thing, a lot of people might poo-poo on the idea of relying on faith, but I'll tell you, it definitely can make a difference, to say
right.
the least.
How else could you explain what happened? I mean, that is so cool. And, you know, those countries are so volatile and there's so much violence. And, you know, I've read many, many stories about similar countries where that's exactly what happens. You know, they go in to rob a place and they just kill everybody inside and take what they
right.
want.
Yeah, exactly.
So to me, that was a very, very cool and very miraculous story that they were able to not only survive, but virtually unscathed without anything hardly being taken.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of places that life literally means nothing. So,
yeah. Well, look at the girl that I helped a couple of weeks ago that we talked about on a past episode. I mean, her dad was murdered.
Right.
You know, so
yep.
crazy. But anyway, furry heroes. And this one's about a lion. Early in June, 4 men kidnapped a 12-year-old girl on her way home from school. Here you go again. Wow. As the men were being pursued by the police, they encountered a group of lions. The lions chased the 4 men away and stayed with the girl without harming her until the police approached. According to Sergeant Wandmu Wedjad, they found the girl about 560 kilometers southwest of the capital, safe but terrified and shocked. When the police arrived, the lions left the girl and went back into the forest. Although the sex of the lions was not established, various experts are already doubting the credibility of the story. But according to the girl, the kidnappers assaulted her, and the lions did not harm her. And this was in Ethiopia. A wildlife expert from Ethiopia argues that the lion spared her because her cry sounded like a mewing lion cub. So I don't know. Is it true? Is it fake? I know it sounds outside the realm of possibility, but I have read stories of animals before helping people. There was the one we did on a previous episode where a pool of dolphins, remember? A guy was swimming and he became unconscious or something.
Right,
and
they kept him up.
Safety,
yeah.
Pushing him. Yeah. I thought it was a really cool story, and I want to believe that it's true. Lions are very, very protective animals, you know, and if she sounded like a baby, you know, and they could sense her fear, I think it's very possible that something like this could happen.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was a cool story.
I think that there are times where different animals that you encounter like this, well, I mean, you know, just as well as I do, animals have a consciousness. I mean, just like we do, you know, they think, they feel. It's not all instinct with them, although in a lot of ways it is, but it's not always all instinct. So I think that with something like this, something told them, don't mess with her. Keep her safe. You know, there was something in them that did that.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many stories have you read about monkeys and animals in zoos where children have fallen and they've taken the child and saved them?
Right, exactly.
Know?
Yep.
So, I mean, it does happen, and I want to believe that it's true, and I think lions are cool anyway. So
I do,
I
too.
I just like the story. The story's about a lady named Jean Gribben who gives beads of courage, is what she calls them, to sick kids. And almost 3 years ago, a little girl named Maddie Price was at a doctor's appointment for issues with her transplanted heart when a child life specialist at her Florida hospital proposed a new program. She would get a bead for every procedure, hospital visit, and medical milestone. And she said, she was like, oh, this is kind of kiddish. I don't want a bunch of beads. It's not a big deal. She's now 16, and she was recalling how she felt when it was originally presented to her. She lives in Palm Harbor, Florida. But after some encouragement from her dad, she decided to give it a try. Much to her surprise, Maddie actually found it excited to get a green bead after blood work or a hand-blown red glass heart following her second heart transplant on June 1st at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in St. Petersburg. And so far, Maddie's received over 3,000 beads and counting. She says, the beads are inspiring. It was kind of a reward for me, who spent 7 months hospitalized every single year. Can you imagine that poor child, what she had to go through?
Oh, yeah.
not just a memory of going to the doctor every day or getting blood work. It's, oh, you overcame this obstacle, and it's another day of doing good. As your mom, Melanie, she's embraced it as a very therapeutic part of her journey. And Maddie's beads are received through a non-profit group called Beads of Courage, which started back in 2003. Jean Gribben, at the time a pediatric oncology nurse in Arizona, felt a hole existed in meeting the emotional needs of the children that she treated. She said that children were seeking something tangible that they can hold, that they can show others, that says, this is what I've been through. Gribben is 41 years old. She lives in Tucson, Arizona. And she said, when you're a nurse, you give kids stickers. And that wasn't enough because stickers are disposable. So as part of her doctoral research in nursing at Phoenix Children's Hospital, she came up with the ideas for nurses to give kids different kinds of beads to reward them for every medical step as a way to cope with everything they've been going through, as well as to document the story of their illness. They get a blue bead for every clinic visit, a red bead for blood transfusions, a glow-in-the-dark bead for echocardiograms, a brown bead for hair loss. You see this child suffering, she says, and you need tools to help them. Beads have always been used as symbols of honor and accomplishment. With donations from friends and family and with the help of several societies of bead makers, in 2005, Gribben founded Beads of Courage. And now the program has been used in 240 hospitals in the United States, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Canada, and Japan. Donations and sponsorship covers the cost. It's not uncommon for a child to have over 1,500 beads telling the story of their illness. It shows them they can get through a lot, says Lauren Mursky-Piatin, who's a child life specialist at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and she helped start the program there as well. You hear about all these things they have to endure, and they can say, this is what I've done, and it becomes a badge of honor. Gribben estimates about 60,000 children are currently receiving beads through the program. Most are manufactured glass beads, with another 70,000 handmade by glass blowers all over the world. Maddie has created works of art with her beads, gluing them to canvases she's then given away as gifts. She continues to visit the hospital sometimes daily, and along with that comes more beads. So she's found a way to actually take the suffering that she's endured and create artwork with it to give it to others. How cool is that? And there's another story of a little person, Peyton Richardson, 14, who had already taken 367 oral chemotherapy pills through a year and a half treatment for acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Beads of Courage came to the hospital where she received treatment, the Texas Children's Hospital, this past September. She was eager to sign up and catch up, so she combed through her mother's meticulously kept medical records after her diagnosis in January 2015 and told Beads of Courage all about the multitude of chemotherapy, spinal taps, IVs, hospital stays, and shots. Hundreds of beads arrived at her Sugar Land, Texas home. When I was stringing my beads, I was shocked at how long they got, says Peyton, noting the strand runs over 30 feet long. It's hard to understand how much you go through until it's all laid out in front of your eyes. Beads of Courage is amazing. And then there are just several different stories telling about a little four-year-old, and there's one that really touched me. At the funeral for her late five-year-old daughter, Lily Bell, Crystal Kalungin of Hayden, Alabama, draped the 30 strands of beads the little girl had once strung alongside her casket. The little girl died in 2013 after fighting osteopetrosis, which is a rare bone disease. And our pastor explained that if you ever have seen a soldier with lots of awards, this child is comparable to the top soldiers with all the awards.
That's it, exactly.
This
yeah.
is what she learned.
That's it, exactly. Yep.
And now the strands hang from the family's kitchen window like curtains, as a reminder of Lily Bell's bravery as she underwent numerous procedures. The beads gave her such joy. So I just thought that was an amazing story. And to hear the stories of how it helped the children, and to think that like 70,000 glass, home-blown, hand-blown beads that people have donated to help keep this program going is just really an inspirational story.
That's
all the way
lot
around
of
my
work.
Book. It's one of my favorite of the year so far, actually.
That is, I'll tell you, that is a lot of work. I know a couple of guys that have done glass blowing before, and I know how hard they work at it, man. It's not easy.
I've watched those guys work, and wow, they're just amazingly talented, and it does. It's not an easy feat.
It's meticulous. It's painstaking. I mean, especially doing little tiny beads like that is, whew, boy.
So I just, that, like I said, that's got to be one of my favorite ones so far this year. I thought that was really cool all the way around to hear how they were created, how the program was instituted, how they started it, how the children felt, and you know, just, my gosh, can you imagine having a bead for everything that you had to gone through and having a string 30 feet long? This is a little child.
Yeah.
And just to be able to look at that and know that, you know, for every single bead, it meant a particular medical procedure, and to have a history of that, it just, that's amazing.
It's like with my wife, Jolene, because of all the things that she went through as a child with her heart, you know, and up till she was, you know, just even recently, she has copies of her medical records and stuff. And I mean, they go with stacks. I mean, she's got, you know, all of her x-rays and photographs of her insides and everything. And she loves to look at it because she looks at it as a badge of honor. She looks at her insides and she's like, you know, that's me right there. And I survived this. I was, you know, laid open like this, and I survived this, and that I can do anything, you know, here
that's
I am,
right,
even after
that's
all
right
of this. So,
and she can, because she's lived through that. Look at what she's been able to overcome.
Yep.
And be strong enough to withstand and still be able to go on every day, and not just go on every day, but raise two kids. Are you kidding me?
and be with me that right.
You know,
there's a hard
take
enough
care of
task.
A pain in the ass husband.
Exactly. Exactly. I warned her when we got together, I am a hard person to live with. So,
you know, I love you, Ira. Yeah, she's an amazing woman. I love Jolene. She's a great people. Great people.
She
and
is.
You're just blessed with a very beautiful family. You're so lucky. You really are. Mm-mm-mm. And then the little girl, though, that took the beadwork and made artwork to give to her family.
That's amazing.
And
I love that. I
isn't
love
that something? And then, so they have a memory of what she's gone through. And you know what? God forbid this child was terminal and something were to happen. You know, it's kind of a morbid way to look at things, but they would forever have a remembrance of what this child suffered
right
through. And, you know, the fact that she's doing well is just even more. I mean, to be able to hang a picture on a wall of a child's accomplishments and what she was able to suffer through and survive medically as a child, just looking at that alone, the inspiration that it should give to people is just unfounded.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine getting one of those gifts from that child and what, you know, what you would feel with that? You know, this is the person that you literally suffered with every one of these beads, and you made it into something to give to me. I mean, this is just an amazing thing, you know?
It's got to be one of the most heartfelt gifts that I would ever have received.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. I'd be jelly, for real.
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-mm-mm. I mean, my dogs give me like their bone that they've been chewing and spitting on for 2 hours, and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. Oh, you gave me your spit. And the spit dries up. You don't have it forever. You know, you got part of a chewed hoop or whatever.
Yep.
Like, you know, so anyway, let's go into those crazy kids. The small town of Bonnie Rock, I thought this one was cool too, sits in Australia's wheat belt, because we have some listeners. I know we have Andrea who's in Australia. So this was really cool to me because we have listeners on our interviews and on this show that are from Australia. So if you know where Bonnie Rock is, Andrea, if you're listening, get a hold of us and let us know where it is in relation to you. But anyway, it's in Australia's wheat belt region on the far western edge of the outback. In such low population parts of the country, help can be hard to come by. So when the Justin Beaurand truck flipped over, tearing open his scalp and pinning him in place, it seemed like he didn't stand a chance. He was 50 kilometers from a hospital, and that hospital didn't have a doctor. There were no doctors within 200 kilometers or 124 miles. He was as good as isolated in the middle of nowhere. Yet he had his 12-year-old son, Michael, with him. This alone didn't solve the problem. Michael, too, had been partially injured. He couldn't help his father or treat him, but he couldn't possibly run for help in time. So he, who had been in the truck sleeper bunk during the crash, was at least in better shape than Justin, and he was able to crawl out of the wreckage, and he was able to reach the truck's radio. Unfortunately, though, for the two of them, that wasn't enough. The radio had died when the crash ripped it from the truck. So then Michael, at his father's instruction, fetched the truck's spare battery, and with no previous experience with electronics, he hot-wired the radio to bring it back to life. He had to strip the wires off the radio and connect them to the external battery. And throughout the process, the truck's engine continued to run, leaking gas and oil that threatened to ignite at any moment. Michael managed to get the radio working. Within an hour of being trapped, Justin was hauled off in an ambulance. He was treated for his multiple injuries and credits, being alive today to the actions of his brave son. How about that, huh?
That's awesome. That really is. I would probably be just like that kid, you know, trying to hotwire everything together. Because, I mean, I was 8 years old taking apart my computer system and putting it back together again.
Can I just tell you, old school, my dad taught me to hotwire at like 8 years of age. It's one of the things he did teach me that he
yep.
passed along to my brother.
Yep.
I don't know if I can remember how to do it now, but I used to be able to.
Been there.
When I was little, being like an amateur car thief or something, you know.
My dad always taught me, he told me, you need to know how to hotwire a car because you never know when you're going to lose your keys, and you need to know how to drive a stick shift because you never know when you're going to need it. So,
yeah, I learned to drive on a stick shift. So that,
yep,
was,
that was what I was taught on.
The hotwiring thing was cool.
That was what I was taught on. He said, if I'll teach you how to drive on the on a stick, because if you know how to drive on a stick, you can drive anything. I mean, there's nothing that you can't drive. So,
and that's for real. It's true. And nobody knows how to do that anymore. These young kids coming up, like, they don't even know what a stick shift is.
It's,
you know,
a great
gear pattern. You know, it's like, what?
It's a great anti-theft device these days.
It is too, right? But I have a lot of fun, you know, when I have the instance that I have a friend that has like a sports car or something with a stick shift, to put a kid in beside me and go, okay, let's see what you can do, hotshot. Because
yep.
they're, you know, oh, I, you know, I mean, kids are so confident now, and, you know, they get in a car and they want to do 80 and they think they can, you know, just drive this vehicle and do whatever. And then you put them in something like that with a standard. And they're like, huh?
You can't
own your transmission, but it's a lot of fun if you don't own the car, let me tell you.
you can't hold a candle to anybody that that knows how to drive a stick while eating at the same time and only using like one arm to drive. You know, I mean, I did that many times.
I think, honestly, the biggest example of me impressing a guy ever was when he had this old beat up red pickup truck and it had a really good engine in it. And he's like, let's go, you know, it's standard. Let's, you know, I said, yeah, I want to drive your truck. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I want to see. So we took it out on like these open back country roads, and I was flying through the patterns, man. We were flying through the woods as fast as that little thing could go and taking curves, hugging it. See, my dad was an amateur racer. So, and I have little feet, and I was taught that from a very young age. And I mean, cops are in the neighborhood, just, they kind of knew who I was, so they left me alone. But I used to do some, years ago, some amateur street racing and stuff like that. So I totally blew his mind. And that was like probably one of the coolest dates that I ever had, was like this guy, like he got home and he was like on the phone telling all his friends that I was able to drive his truck through the back roads and like at like 90 or faster, I won't say. But but it was really cool. Fun times, good times, you know. I had a rental car once. Okay, we won't go there. I don't want to get in trouble. So happiness homework. This episode we had geared to air on Valentine's, or the first Sunday of the month, which was before Valentine's Day. So I had this pre-made up, and then, you know, you got sick on me and just ruined my whole show. But that's okay, you know.
It's terrible.
Did we even air anything that night?
We did.
Did you
yeah.
do a repeat, or
yeah.
did we air a repeat of our show, or did you do like?
Yeah, it was a replay of the Positive Podcast. Yep.
Oh, nice. So did you do the Tennessee one?
Yeah, that was the one that came out. Yep.
I love you, Ira. My favorite episodes anyway. But anyway, so I had done this before, and it was by a Valentine for someone who normally wouldn't get one. And I just wanted to tell you a quick story of a local high school here. You know, so many times, Valentine's Day, especially like to teenagers, you know, everybody's griping on Facebook that they don't have a boyfriend, they're going to be alone for Valentine's, this and that. Look, guys, look at the day after Valentine's is the best day of the year. Half price candy. How
Heck
can
yeah.
you be upset?
Heck yeah.
It's a win-win situation. The next day you go to Valentine's Day, you go to the CVS, it's like you're getting boxes of candy for like $3. Are you kidding me? How could you be upset? Don't be upset. It's a great holiday, regardless of whether you're with somebody or not. Over-commercialized to the extreme, which is why it's one of my least favorite holidays that way. But regardless of whether or not you're in a relationship, Valentine's Day, the day after candy sale, it's bonus. It's like Christmas all over. So anyway, a lot of people are upset about Valentine's Day. You know, I don't have a boyfriend, or I'm going to be home, or, you know, my husband ignored me on Valentine's Day, what have you. You hear all these stories, especially with these kids. And, you know, I don't have a boyfriend. It's the end of the world, and they're like 12, you know. So our local school, we had an unknown student who actually spent weeks making a Valentine for every single kid in the high school, 1,800 Valentines. And they weren't photocopied. Each one had an individual handwritten message on the inside of the Valentine. 1,800, okay? And so this girl, well, I assume it's a girl, asked, you know, told the school what she was preparing to do and asked to get let in after hours. And after she had designed, made, handwritten the message inside each Valentine, posted them to each of the 1,800 lockers in the high school so that when the kids came in the next day, everybody got a Valentine. Everybody. Is that not the coolest thing ever?
That's some serious dedication right there.
Right?
Wow, right? That is really cool.
And you know what? This child is so legit and so wanted to be a person that passed on good feelings and, you know, the thought of a child or a teenager not having a Valentine or a boyfriend or girlfriend, wanting to make every single person in that school feel special, that in the article, nowhere does it post that child's name. She remained, or he remained, totally anonymous. How cool is that?
That really is. That really is.
Right? I just thought that was amazing.
That's got some good karma coming to her.
No, for real. And I've done this before, you know, random Valentines. We used to have, back when I was in school, we used to have Daffodil Day. It was like a cancer funding, you know, like people would buy daffodils for cancer and then you'd give a person a random daffodil. But I used to do stuff like that all the time, and I still do, is, you know, just on Valentine's Day or on an occasion where you know that someone's not going to receive anything, just, you know, go to the dollar store and grab, the cards are two for a buck at the dollar store, or, you know, a little piece of chocolate or a candy bar, and just, you know, Easter's coming because we miss Valentine's Day. We could do Easter, or you could just do a random and just, you know, give it to someone who wouldn't normally get something. You won't believe what a difference it'll make to that person's day. It'll just totally make them feel special and appreciated. And it's such a tiny gesture, but it would mean so much. So that was my happiness homework for the week. So let's see. You want to do dancing jammy music?
We can do that.
Sweet.
I love this song.
Me too.
Here you guys go. Enjoy the song.
Pick up a 10 gun, I had to do my two. Mama, I don't know why I got to stop you, but that's twice. Look, the beginning is gonna be a fight. We're gonna rock this town. We're gonna rip this place apart. We're gonna rock this town, rock it inside out. We're gonna rock this town, think of the screen and shout. Let's rock, rock, rock me and rock. We're gonna rock till we pop. We're gonna rock till we drop. We're gonna rock this town, rock this place apart.
Oh, the Stray Cats. They were a rockabilly band from Massapequa, New York. I love these guys. They're one of my favorite bands ever. They were big in the 80s, and yeah, I love them. Stray Cats. They had the Stray Cat Strut. That was my. That's actually one of my top favorite songs. I love that song. Runaway nice. Boys, Sexy and 17, Rock This Town. That's that one. Great, great band. I love those guys.
They're awesome. And even the stuff that Brian Setzer did, the Brian Setzer Orchestra, his stuff is really cool too. I mean, I just love them all the way around. You know, he's just, they were awesome. They're
I love those kind of throwbacks bands, you know?
Huh?
I love those kind of throwback kind of bands like that.
I know, right? So are you dancing? Tell the truth. Were you jamming?
I was.
Did you pee? Just kidding.
I peed a little.
I did. Coffee in the IV, man. I'm just going.
I peed a little. I'm glad I got my Depends on. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, Ira. Damn. I love you, Ira. Oh, boy. So let's go into the healing herb. And this week I picked Angelica. Angelica is a really, really cool herb. It's used a lot, actually, in spiritual work for purification purposes. I don't know if you're aware of that. But its medicinal properties are really cool, too. It's closely related to Dan Quai, which is one of the most respected female tonics in traditional Chinese medicine. It's used as a traditional birthing herb to bring on a delayed labor and to help expel the placenta following childbirth. It relieves painful and cramping menstruation and brings on delayed menstruation. So, yeah, it's kind of more of a woman's herb sometimes. So, but... good for bloating and cramps. So females out there, buy some Angelica. But it also has a long history of use in colds, congestion, and fevers. The root is warming and stimulating to the lungs, which helps to ease congestion. Contains compounds that act much like calcium channel blockers, which are often prescribed for high blood pressure and heart health. It's a bitter digestive aid, can help with a nervous stomach, tension-related digestive disorders. The fruit, leaf, and root of Angelica stimulate digestion, helps get rid of gas and common nervous stomach. And the entire plant can be used, but the resinous root is the part that's often used in herbal medicine. The fresh bruised or dried roots can be taken as a decoction or made into extracts and are the source of the essential oil that you buy at the store. It's a beautiful plant to put into your garden. Some people hollow the hollow stems, they can candy them. I haven't ever tried that. It's a great tea. It's a body bitter. So it's not like really, really sweet tasting, but it's used in aromatherapy, used in as an extract. And like I said, in clearing and blessing work, it's used a lot as a clearing and blessing oil as well. So. The recipe this week, of course, because it's the first Sunday of the month, is going to be a tincture. And I actually chose to make an Angelica and mint cocktail for indigestion, which can also be used as a tincture, the base of it. So I thought that was really cool because you could use it for two different things. So to make the tincture, you take 3.5 ounces of fresh Angelica root from the garden, or 1 3/4 ounces of dried Angelica root, washed and chopped up, 1 ounce of fresh mint leaves, 4 teaspoons of dried German chamomile, and 4 teaspoons of fennel seeds. And you need 2 1/8 cups of vodka or to cover. And then for the cocktail, for the actual drink, you need a sprig of fresh mint, fresh dill leaves, some lime slices, ice, and a flat or uncarbonated ginger beer or ginger cordial, or any other soft drink of your choice, but ginger is the best, I think. So for the tincture, you put the Angelica in a glass jar with the fresh mint, chamomile, and fennel seeds, Pour on the vodka to cover all of the plant material. Seal the jar and let it steep in a cold, dark place for 10 to 14 days. And then when you're ready for it, strain it through a muslin or cheesecloth. Save the liquid, and it should make about 1 2/3 cup of the vodka tincture. Now, for the cocktail, it's so easy. You just muddle a shot of the Angelica tincture. Now, I used to be a bartender, so, you know, you just take the glass, and there's like a little metal, like a pestle, mortar and pestle you can use, or anything with a blunt end, really. The edge of a wooden knife will work. And muddle a shot of the Angelica tincture, about an ounce worth, with a sprig of the mint, some dill leaves, and lime slices in a tall glass. Top up with ice and the flatter uncarbonated ginger, ginger ale, ginger beer, or a soft drink and cordial drink that you like. And drink it before meals to help you with digestion, or after meals if you're having indigestion. And you can store the tincture in a bottle in a cool, dark place for at least a year. And you can make it less alcoholic by adding the shot of tincture to boiling hot mixture or cordial, and then allowing that to cool before adding the ice, mint, and dill and lime, if you want. So it's up to you. It does contain alcohol, so if you're medication from the doctor for a stomach ulcer or inflamed stomach lining, this is for simple indigestion. And so, you know, it's got alcohol. They tell you to be cautious when you're driving and things like that. But I thought it was a really cool recipe, and it sounds like a really cool drink. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely give it a try myself. I would say give a warning for the folks, though, that if they're going to use it, make sure that if you're a woman that you're not, like, trying to get actively pregnant or something like that, just because it probably would interfere with the pregnancy.
Anything that we do on here, you know, if you have any questions, check with your doctor or health physician before.
Yeah.
You know, just to make sure that it's right for you. Usually if there's a disclaimer that goes along with a particular herb or recipe, I try and, you know, let people know that this or that could happen. It's just like anything else, you know, check with your doctor or health professional before trying any of these, especially if you're prone to allergies like I am.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, we won't go there tonight. It's too happy of a night. So let's see. We could do, I'll let you pick, because I feel bad for picking on you. Not really. But we could do comedy, or we could go right into scripture.
Yeah, why don't we do the comedy here real quick?
I knew you were going to, of course. Okay, Ara. I knew that. Go ahead.
Here you guys now, go. Hope you guys enjoy.
Because we did Valentine's Day, Ira, and you got sick on me. I picked the first one because it's my favorite Valentine's Day song ever.
Awesome.
Go ahead, buddy.
Here you guys go. Enjoy the laughs.
And now here with a special Valentine's Day song is Adam Sandler. Adam.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, these days, with all the violence and fighting and hatred in the world, and tomorrow being Valentine's Day, I thought, why not sing a song about the purest, nicest thing in the world, my red hooded sweatshirt. My mom bought you when I was just 13, the brightest red sweatshirt that I'd ever seen. She got an extra large so I wouldn't grow out. That's too big for you, the other children would shout. But we stuck together, we didn't quit. And now the children say, what a perfect fit. I love you, sweatshirt. Red hooded sweatshirt. Dip, 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 sweatshirt. Shamma-lamma-ding-dong, sweatshirt. I like to rest my hands in your kangaroo pouch. It makes them feel comfy like a big soft couch. And I don't care if the weather's no good. I say, see you later, rain, as I pull up my hood. Remember that long bus trip when I needed a nap? I used you as a pillow on that Spanish lady's lap. I love your sweatshirt. Red hooded sweatshirt. Dip, 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 sweatshirt. Shamma-lamma-ding-dong, sweatshirt. So jolly, is it your 50 cotton or your 50 poly? I don't know.
with his sweatshirt. We've been through a lot together. Like that time I played in that shirts and skins basketball game, and I had to take you off and throw you in the corner of the gym. I was midway through the game, and then I saw you looking at me. You were staring, as if to say, Adam, you suck at basketball. You dribble like a damn woman. I was so mad, I challenged you to a game of one-on-one. And you know, sweatshirt, even though I beat you 11-9, deep in my soul, I know you missed those layups on purpose. You let me win, and that's why, Kevin, please help me out. I love your sweatshirt.
Red hooded.
Sweatshirt.
Dip, dip, dip.
Sweatshirt.
Shum-a-lum-a ding dong.
Sweatshirt. Come on, audience members, help me out here. I love your sweatshirt.
Red hooded.
Sweatshirt.
Dip, dip, dip.
Oh. Sweatshirt.
Shum-a-lum-a ding dong.
Yeah.
I see people at the gym, and I just don't think healthy. I do this machine. Do you know this horrible machine? I don't know the name of it. I call it the horrible machine. I started in February. I could do 5 minutes, but I would have to cry for 2.5 of those minutes. People don't want to see that at the gym. They complain. Take him off that machine. He's crying. Now I can do 45 minutes, and it's a real miracle. But, and I'm a pleasure to be around, too. I see other people working out on the machines. They're thinking, what machine am I gonna do next? Maybe I'll do weights. And I'm thinking, if I do 45 minutes and live, I'm gonna have raviolis and a nap. So the last 15 minutes is a chant, raviolis and a nap, raviolis and a nap. I'm like this on the machine. The trainer comes by and says, I see you're sweating. That's great. You know, you're burning fat. Oh, good. I hope it's a control burn. Because if this baby goes up all at once, there's going to be a mushroom cloud over this gym. I've gone to nutritionist. It's tough to eat well on the road. There's a lot of late night eating. And I went to one nutritionist. I walk into his office, he says, well, the good news is you can have all the salads you want. Whew. That is good news. I was nervous. I came in here thinking, please God, anything, don't take away my salad. How will I live without mixed greens? You mean I can have all the radicchio I want? Stop, I'm getting a chubby. He wanted me to eat salad as the food. Salad's not food. Salad comes with the food. You go out, you order a steak, what do? They bring you a salad. They don't even charge you for it because it ain't worth anything because it ain't food. Salad is a promissory note that food will soon arrive. I never learned to think of salad as food. If I see a salad, I go, something good is gonna happen soon. I'll wait right here. And I've been on diets for over 20 years, off and on. And every part of a diet has been salad, so I see a salad. And there's not a lot of joy there. I go, oh good, a salad. What would you like on your salad? Haagen-Dazs. Melt the Haagen-Dazs to look like ranch. Just do it.
John Panette, I love that guy. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I absolutely adore John Panette.
Isn't he awesome?
He is so hysterical. I'll tell you what, I've used his salad bit so many times. Every time I think of salad, I think salad is not food. It's the promissory note that food is on its way.
I love him. He's just awesome. It was very, very sad when he died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely missed in this world, that's for sure. He's great because he was a clean comedian, you know, but he was always self-deprecating, and I like that kind of thing in comedy, you know, he's awesome. I definitely recommend checking out his works because he's just hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, I may use some of his other bits from the longer skits, you know, because it's hard to find like a 2 or 3 minute skit that's not full of cursing and you don't bleep out every other word, right? So I've kind of gone to some longer skits and pulled out pieces, which I think are hysterical. And hey, that whole show, I mean, in general, it's amazingly funny.
Nay, nay. And, I've been on many nay, right? Rides myself, yes.
And, you know, we're both self-deprecating. I mean, we pick on each other. I mean, more me than you, being honest. But, you know, we're always making fun of ourselves and our health conditions and what's going on with us, you know, and things that we encounter. So, yeah, I like that kind of comedy, too. I think it's healthy to be able to laugh at yourself.
Sure,
you know,
exactly.
In situations that you encounter. And, you know, Throwback City, Adam Sandler, I mean, he is just amazing. And that has been one of my favorite Valentine's songs. It is my favorite Valentine's song forever and ever. I can remember watching that episode when it first came out, for real. And he's so cool.
I think probably my my favorite Valentine's song is one by Weird Al, One More Minute. If you guys don't know that song.
No, I don't, because he's somebody that you were always more into than I was. I never really got into a lot of his stuff. I like his Michael Jackson spoof and a couple others, but I really wasn't ever a fan of his. You were more heavily into him than I was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I even look like him.
You do not. Oh, Ira, stop.
I'll have to show you some of the, I'll have to show you some of the pictures when I was younger. He could have been my uncle, definitely.
You're more handsome than he is now, just ask me. I mean, he's just a goofy-looking guy, you know, but that's what made him work, too, you know? I mean, he was just so goofy-looking that it actually... I think, you know, back when MTV was big, helped to promote him.
Because, oh, yeah.
He was, you know, this tall, gangly-looking guy, you know, goofy faces and everything.
Yep.
But, yeah, he wasn't one of my favorites, I got to be honest. But I'm glad that you appreciate him, and maybe I'll try and find something of his just to make you happy down the line. If, you know, if you bribe me with something good, you know, I'll think about it.
I'll send chocolates your way.
I love you.
I got him for half price.
What?
I'll send some chocolates your way. I got him for half price.
You did. See that? That's my boy. February 15th. That's the time to buy them.
Exactly.
So let's jump into Way Cool Affirmations in Scripture. And, you know, Valentine's Day, the spirit of love. I show my family how much I love them in all the verbal and nonverbal ways that I can. And as always, you can put this on an index card or copy and paste it to your phone in a memo or, you know, stick it on a sticky note or what have you. But if you say this over and over, it definitely will help you. And it's so important to live that affirmation. The more that you show people love and appreciation, the more that it comes back to you. And it's so important, especially in the times that we're living now where families are so fractured and we don't spend enough time with our families. We're all guilty of being, you know, we've got to work to support our families. We've got to make a living. And, you know, or we're busy doing, you know, just daily activities. That this one just jumped out at me and I had to pick it. And so I actually picked two scriptures this week. I picked Ephesians 5:28 from the ESV version. In the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. And that again is in the spirit of Valentine's Day. Just because on Facebook I saw so many, Valentine's is just another day. I didn't get anything for Valentine's Day. My husband doesn't appreciate me, or my wife didn't make me dinner. You know, I mean, come on, guys. Valentine's Day is just a day. If you live in the spirit and you treat the person in your life, significant other, your family, your children, your loved ones, the way that you want to be treated every single day, every day can be Valentine's Day.
That's it.
It doesn't
exactly
have to be a special time of year. I mean, and it's such a commercialized holiday, and it's blown so out of proportion where, you know, people, and we're in such a materialistic society nowadays that, you know, if you don't get that box of chocolates and that, you know, the flowers and get taken out for dinner, you know, right away, it's just, oh, it's a horrible, horrible
thing.
Well,
and what a lot of people do.
Well, think of the blessings that you have every single day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what about that? You know, what about, you know, when your husband does the dishes for you and you're running late for work or picks up the kids from school or, you know, your wife packs your lunch for you on a day that you're running behind or, you know, every day. You know, if she's Italian, she's probably doing it every day. But if you get her mad, she may be spitting in your sandwich, just saying, you know. Using your toothbrush to clean the bathroom.
A little bit of pee in your coffee cup, yeah. A little bit of pee in your coffee cup, yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, that a lot of people, and I know, unfortunately, a lot of women are the ones that do this kind of thing. They see what other men do for their wives or their girlfriends on Valentine's Day, and they do comparisons. Why don't you do things like that? You know, so the guys have to try to one-up things, and it just gets ridiculous. You know, for me, I proved to Jolene that I love her every day. I proved to my kids that I love them every day. I mean, they exist. You know, they should be appreciative. But anyways...
That's what it's all about. I mean, they have milk for their cereal, right?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
They have lights. They have heat. You know.
I love that. It reminds me of Chris Rock. You know what? Nobody ever appreciates Daddy. You know, nobody ever says, "Hey, thanks, Daddy, for knocking out this rent. It's easy to do the homework with these lights on." You know? But
the
thing
is, every single day, you know, you keep slow dance in the kitchen. I dance all the time when I'm cooking, when I'm feeling okay. And, you know, I mean, you can make the most mundane, stupid, most hated chore, like folding laundry, you know, I mean, just get over it, you know, just make it something that you get through and make it the most positive that you can be and watch how your whole outlook changes on life. You know, if you look at everything with an attitude of thankfulness and joy, and you show that in your daily, you know, your daily behavior, you know, doing the dishes because you had food to eat to be able to put on those dishes.
Exactly.
And, you know, right. And, you know, sweeping the floor, because your children were playing there and were able to have the time to play with you and dump Play-Doh or sand on the floor.
Right.
Or,
and they're healthy enough to be able to do it. And
all
that.
And they're healthy enough to be able to do it. Think about that bead story.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about what you have. It's what you give, you know? And, you know, I have to say, honestly, though, that the last couple of years, I have seen somewhat of a rise in that, you know, where people are, especially with hard financial times upon so many of us, some of us have come down to basics, and I applaud you, you know, for being happy for the little things and, you know, a homemade card or, you know, I went to church last week and, like, totally unexpected, I had missed the week before because I was sick, because I wasn't able to get dressed and go to church. The pain was just, like, it was too bad. I couldn't do it. So, and then I had to meet some friends afterwards. So I was able to get myself dressed and prepared and get out the door to do what I had to do there. But I wasn't able to get up and moving and dressed in order to get to church on time. And sometimes that happens with me, you know, I'm just not able to get around, you know, until the later hours of the morning, on the weekends, you know, during the day, during the week, you know, you push yourself to get your stuff done, but anyway,
I'll give you another example. I can give you a great example too, for my anniversary with Jolene, our daughter Crystal, she's been working with clay, a lot and like doing the hardened clay and making kind of pottery pieces and that kind of thing out of it. And she made a heart locket for each of us that had the split heart, you know, and can go together and that kind of thing. And that was an incredible gift. That was awesome. She did that with her own little hands and, you know, painted it and all kinds of stuff with it. That was great. And then for my birthday, which was just a couple of days later, she made... A Princess Leia head that, I mean, it's so incredibly detailed. It looks really awesome for a little collectible thing for me, you know? So, I mean, that's a great example of somebody that's just giving from themselves. I mean, she took the time out to make that and paint it and you know, get it set so that it's hardened and everything. And, I mean, just great stuff, you know, and I very much appreciated it because it's something that she did of her own self. She didn't have to do that.
That is so cool. And I got to be honest, I mean, Star Wars, how much cooler is that?
Exactly.
You know, that it can, I mean, that's one of both of our all-time favorite movies.
Yep.
And, you know, just the fact that she knows your likes and dislikes and did something that she knew that would be important to you. That is so cool. I have stuff spread all over the house from when the kids were smaller and younger. And I have artwork on my refrigerator that's probably 6 years old for my boy. You know, it's like so cool because it's something that you'll have forever. And it's you couldn't buy something like that in a store.
Yeah, exactly.
So just like I was saying, we went to church. So I went to church on Sunday and like, I'm like, they put in the flyer and they announced that they were having like a little Valentine's Day get together after church. And I'm like, you know, I don't know about this one. I've got work to do at home. I've got stuff to do. I've got the puppies, blah, blah, blah. So one of the girls comes up and she says, you got to come over and get something to eat. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I walk over there and I really wasn't in the mood to go. I was just, you know, I was aching. I was hurting. I had things to do at home. I had appointments, people I needed to help. And so I went over there and I walk in the door and I gave each person a handmade Valentine. And you sat around the table and you pop open the Valentine and each Valentine had a scripture or a verse inside of it and you had to read it out loud. So it was really cool because I know some of the people that got the ones that, I mean, they totally, I don't know, it was just so cool because the verses and the scripture passages that they got totally pertained to them. And mine certainly did to me. So that was like the most awesome thing. And that was my homemade Valentine for the year because the kids are older now. I didn't get a homemade Valentine, but I got one from there,
That's cool.
And it was really cool, you know, and it was actually a great time. I mean, everybody was there. We were laughing, we were visiting and we had good food and, you know, and a great visit. So it was cool. It was very, very cool.
That is
unexpected surprise, you know?
Yep.
So Corinthians 13:8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And so that was my other scripture this week. So just be thankful for what you have. You know?
Exactly. Attitude of gratitude.
Oh,
attitude of gratitude.
That's it. So how much time we got left?
We have 4 minutes.
Okay, things my dad said. Okay. Do, do, do. Okay, so for things my dad says, watch MASH instead. With today's television, I very rarely turn on the TV at all, unless it's maybe to check the Weather Channel or occasionally watch a very, like I watch the halftime show for Super Bowl. I didn't even watch the Super Bowl this year because my pop's team wasn't in it. But to turn on a classic old sitcom and watch that with your family and your kids nowadays, just to show them the difference between what quality television, in my opinion, was really, really like, as opposed to the garbage that's out there today. Give your kids a different perspective, and it can relive childhood memories for you too. So it's really cool to be able to put on an old sitcom that you used to watch growing up, and be able to share that with your family. And, you know, I can remember certain shows that I had favorites that I can still remember particular parts of episodes from years and years ago. And it's a great way to relive all happy memories and to show your family and your children, you know, what quality television was all about. And my dad was always a huge fan of MASH because he's a Vietnam vet. And just some of the comedy bits in there are just hysterical. And it's really cool, too, because you can compare with your children the way things were then, depending on what sitcom you picked on. I mean, they're dinosaurs now, you know, in comparison to the technology that we have today and, you know, the color quality and the clarity and, you know, everybody's got HD TVs now and this and that, fancy stuff. But to be able to show them an old-time sitcom or show and then compare it to what's out there today and discuss with your family, you know, the quality, the changes, the language, the dress, it's a really cool way to introduce them to a part of your lifestyle growing up and to relive some really cool, happy memories and to expose them to something different other than a 3D video game. So that was my things my dad says for the weeks is watch MASH instead. You know, when kids come over, what do you got that crap on for? Watch, put on MASH or something, will you? So
I'm in a complete agreement. I'm in complete agreement. And that's a great thing with Netflix, too. They have things like The Andy Griffith Show, you know, and Twilight Zone, all those old shows that are there. I definitely recommend doing things like Roseanne or Home Improvement. Those kind of shows are great, too. You know, I love them.
For real. So that's our show for the week, folks. Thank you for listening. And do we have time to share the contacts, or you want to wait till next time?
Yeah, we can do that. OpenEyesNetwork.com is the website address that you can get the archive of this from, and you can give out your contact info real quick if you want to.
Okay, on Skype, it's Maggie Hart. MaggieHart.com is a beautiful, beautiful website that Ira and his beautiful wife, Jolene, made for me. And on Facebook, it's Maggie Hart. And look me up and get a hold of me, and let's talk. Thanks for listening.
Sounds great, Maggie. Thanks so much for everything that you do. Everybody have a wonderful week. We will talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, Ira. Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.